Previously on Compassion Radio.
When I finished watching the film, I turned to my wife and said, I know Lee now, and that tells me that Brian really got it.
That's great to hear. That's the biggest praise ever to hear that. Wow, thank you.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
From continent to continent, in every corner of the globe, there's a story to tell. A story of God's work happening in this generation. And we're the ones to bring that story to you. This is the Daily Radio Ministry Journal, known as Compassion Radio. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was certainly a storyteller. He frequently used parables to get his point across. There's no doubt that a good story, told well, can make an indelible impact. Well, that said, there's a film coming out next week that we think has the potential for a big impact, especially with Easter approaching. And joining Bram for a second day to talk about it is Brian Bird, the veteran Christian producer and writer whose imprint is all over this exciting new film. Here's Bram to get us started on our Friday broadcast.
Back with me is Brian Bird, producer, writer, and he's coming out in a big way with this new film called The Case for Christ, which rolls into theaters in just a few days on April 6th and 7th, the premiere across the United States and Canada. Brian, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Thank you, Bram. It's a pleasure to be with your audience.
Now, just to pick up where we left off yesterday, we were talking about the importance of the quality of narrative having real power. When you get it right, when stuff makes it on the screen and tells the truth, that it's going to stir up some deep longings or yearnings or questions within people who are seekers. And this movie's going to do that. So let's talk about the power of narrative now. You're going to be nationally famous here in a few weeks, and you're already doing that by becoming the spokesperson for the film. How are people like you, who have known the Lord for so many years, who grew up as a pastor's kid, having an impact? What are the potentials and opportunities now for Christians in Hollywood?
Well, I think the digital revolution, Bram, has opened up opportunity like never before for storytellers. That's good news and bad news,
yes,
right?
It is.
There's so much appetite for content nowadays that there's a lot of opportunity for new voices, for new storytellers to emerge out of the landscape. Now, not just anybody can do it. That's something I want to be clear about, right?
Many have tried.
It's taken me 30 years to figure out how to do what I do.
Yeah.
And the 10,000-hour rule applies to all of us.
Yes,
you know, until you put in your 10,000 hours, you are still an aspiring storyteller. So I honestly believe that not everybody can do it, but there are a lot of people who can, who are now going to be given opportunities because the price of admission has become so much less. I mean, the equipment is so much less to buy or to rent nowadays and get beautiful filmmaking equipment. Now, the software takes some craft. You know, the software, you could have the best equipment in the world, the best computer in the world, but if the software doesn't work, it doesn't matter.
And by software, you mean the stuff between your ears.
That's right. And also the material that is used, the stories that are used to tell those stories.
Now, if you're talking about the metaphor of the 10,000-hour rule, when it comes to artistry, I mean, 5,000 hours, you can fly the plane and get people safely from coast to coast. At 10,000 hours, you can land a plane in the Hudson and everyone survives.
Right.
You've stepped into this at your level now. I imagine what you're writing and how you crafted The Case for Christ is a big step up from where you were 15, 20 years ago.
You know, I do feel like I'm better now than I've ever been, all thanks to God. And I hope everything I do glorifies Him, because it's not about me. It's about, you know, I'm made in the image of the author of the universe. And by the way, we're all made in the image of the author of the universe. And so, you know, aspiring to excellence should be in all of our DNA. Anyway, I do believe that all this time that I put in over the years has made me better now as a storyteller than ever. But, you know, the thing is, it takes time to hone your craft, just like it takes to play in the symphony, right?
Yes.
To play an instrument in the symphony. In fact, when I was getting out of high school and heading to journalism school because I knew I wanted to be a writer, my Uncle Dan, who has been a world-class worship leader during his career and a gifted composer himself, graduated from the music school at USC, you know, you're a very gifted man. He said to me, this writing skill that you have is an instrument that God has given you to play. Don't just get good enough to be in a garage band.
Mm-hmm.
Get good enough to be in the symphony.
Yes.
And in my mind, I'm still trying to get the symphony. I mean, other people might say I'm there already. But I look over and there's some other guy in first chair and I'm in fifth chair and I want to be in first chair. So I'm aspiring, continuing to aspire to learn. Every project I do, I learn something new and, you know, add to my craft that way.
So let's bring that around full circle to the subject matter that brought us here, which is The Case for Christ. This book, now a movie, which you have crafted for the screen. What did you learn from this experience?
You know what? I learned from this experience that it's possible to have four stories and weave them together.
Yes. It's a very tight braid, but you got it done.
Yeah, very, very tricky to do. And thanks to our director, John Gunn, we honed this movie together. It is tricky because the movie's called The Case for Christ. Well, we had to make The Case for Christ in a sufficient way for people to feel like they had gotten enough of that, as you put it yesterday, inoculation against their doubt. We had to make sure that inoculation was sufficient for a movie. We couldn't put on screen 13 world-class experts and have this turn into a research movie.
Right.
So we picked three sort of streams of research, three streams of evidence. The evidence for the 500-plus witnesses who saw Jesus after the crucifixion, that was one stream of proof that we explored in the movie. The veracity and the authenticity of the manuscript stream, the ancient manuscript stream, was another. And then the third stream was the fact that there was no conspiracy to fake Jesus' death.
Yes.
He truly did die on that cross, and there's proof for it. So we focused on those three, and I worked with Lee to help hone that, to refine those storytelling points, because I wanted to make sure that we were actually making the correct apologetic arguments that he makes in the book and that some of the experts that he talked to make in the book. But we didn't want to do a data dump on the moviegoers.
It's an emotional story. It's a quest for family and for meaning and for forgiveness in some ways of
absolutely
being absolved from the sins of your past.
Absolutely.
Of course, we're watching all that happen. We are expecting in the background to be proven. I mean, give me the facts. Do your Joe Friday routine out there so we can get to the end of the episode and know how the conviction happened.
Right.
But in the meantime, you're not expecting to run headlong into your own mirror, which is what the film does
right
to families.
That's exactly right. And we also have a unwritten contract with the audience, or at least I do. If there's any moment that you get taken out, either because you're confused or you're bored and you're thinking about what you're going to order at Chili's tomorrow, then I have not done my job, right? And so the idea is to take the audience into a world that you're creating and have them by the jugular until you're ready to let them go.
The car crash before the commercial break.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like I've said a number of times in the past couple of days here, you've done a marvelous job pulling that off. So I want to recommend highly again The Case for Christ, the movie, because it's not just a companion to the book. It brings to life things you would have even imagined were going on when reading the book. And maybe you have read the book over the years. Well, for that very reason, see what emotion pours out on the screen that you didn't even capture when you read Lee's lighthearted personal writing style. It's much more intense, much more personal, much more raw, I would say, than what he seems to have put down on paper before. Why? Because he allowed his life, Leslie allowed her life, to be laid bare before you, the screenwriter.
Yes.
And we're proud of them for that, too.
Yes.
In the time we've got left here, I'd like to ask you about where Christian worldview is going in the media. What can we expect from people like you? What can we expect from Hollywood and from Television City to give us in the future, or to allow the Christian worldview to appear in ways that are true to its heart and its redemptive ethic, but also extraordinarily of high quality? We haven't really expected that much, and I wasn't expecting that kind of quality in this film. But you did it. You made the leap. PureFlix is doing that job. Sherwood's doing that with their storytelling from the Southeast. Something's happening. There's a lift with Christian-themed, or at least faith-based media that we haven't seen since Hollywood began. Where are we going?
Right. Well, I would argue with that last point there, because I think there was some powerful, powerful movies that were done, big epic movies that were done way earlier in Hollywood, like Ben-Hur, right? Like The Greatest Story Ever Told, The Bells of St. Mary. There were some very powerful films that spoke deep eternal truths in them that were made on an epic scale. when the culture was open to it. And I think that that has been part of the issue over the years, is that on one side you have the culture shifting to a more secular mindset.
Yeah.
And on the other side of the equation, for some reason, the church left the Renaissance behind.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but all the great art in history was created from the Christian consensus. The church actually patronized great art during the Renaissance. And then we walked away from it because we said, no, that's the world's domain. Well, guess what? That's wrong.
Hmm.
It's not the world's domain. We are all made in the image of the author of the universe. The good enough principle is sin, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's wrong. We should be aspiring to make the best art that we can possibly make, not for our own self-aggrandizement, but to reflect back on the creator of the universe that made us in his image. He's given us a tiny little strand of his creative DNA in each one of us. All of us, by the way. That's the reason so many great movies get made in Hollywood. Those people who make those movies are children of God, too. They just don't know it yet, right?
So many don't. It's true.
You're listening to Compassion Radio, and I trust you're enjoying Bram's interview with Brian Bird as they discuss the new film, The Case for Christ. Here is a sample audio trailer from the film.
If somebody wanted to do an investigation into Christianity, where would you start?
If the resurrection of Jesus didn't happen, it's a house of cards.
You sure you want to give me that loaded gun?
I'm pretty sure you're not going to be able to pull the trigger.
I've spent my entire career as a journalist uncovering the truth. Until the day my wife presented me with the biggest story of my life.
I'm not going to lose my wife and my kids to something that I can't even reason with.
And what happened next changed me forever.
How can we even talk about historical evidence for the resurrection?
The Gospels are filled with contradictions.
The empty tomb is based on evidence. And isn't evidence your trade?
We all bet our lives on something.
The question is, what's it going to be?
As much as I would like to help out a fellow skeptic, what you're proposing is impossible.
Could Jesus survive being spiked to the cross?
There is no evidence of anyone ever surviving a full Roman crucifixion.
Do you really want to know the truth, or is your mind already made up?
Stop blaming me and the church and God and do your job.
No one's ever proven if the shroud is the actual burial cloth of the Christ. But whenever someone looks in those eyes for the first time, suddenly becomes a real person.
This sounds like an awesome film. Can't wait to catch it when it hits the theaters next week. What you can catch right now is the premium booklet we're offering this month from Lee Strobel. And boy, the timing couldn't be better. It's The Case for Easter. Call and ask for your copy or copies for your gift of any size this month, this 73rd anniversary month at Compassion Radio. Our phone number is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Call for your copy of The Case for Easter, but act quickly so we can get it into your hands before Easter. Let's get back now to the interview.
That's the reason so many great movies get made in Hollywood. Those people who make those movies are children of God, too. They just don't know it yet. Right?
So many don't. It's true. Let me contrast a couple of things I've been noticing about the quality of stuff coming out of the Hollywood studios that's now spilling into things like Amazon and Netflix. I've seen some very original storytelling, which really isn't original so much as it is a recapturing of the power of the archetype and bringing to life stories that have always resonated with people. But I have noticed something. For stories that have anti-heroes and where we're not supposed to love the person or the ending, but root for them anyway, it's like a guilty pleasure. And those screenwriting exercises seem to be steeped in slatherings of profanity to cover up a lack of meaning, as if the only thing that could drive an emotional scene is just to throw another F-bomb in there.
Right.
They're running out of meaningful words, so we start using the profanity to fill the holes. That's what I'm seeing a lot of in stories that I look at them and say, they could have told a great story here, but I'm not seeing it underneath all of that. And it seems like that's what Christians are expecting of media in general, is that they have nothing to say, so they're just going to slap this garbage on there.
Well, I'll tell you, some of that garbage is garbage because of the content, but it might be very well crafted too. You know, look, out of the heart proceedeth the outflow of the mouth, right? Mm-hmm. This is about people's worldviews and the lost nature of a secular culture. They may be very gifted, but like I said, they're gifted because God created them to be gifted, but they just don't have a connection to their creator. They don't know they're created in the image of the author of the universe. So they might be very gifted at what they do, but we're going to see doses of what's truly in their hearts, mm-hmm. and that can be very ugly sometimes.
Yeah.
Now, look, we're all human beings. We're all bundles of contradictions. We're all messy from time to time, yeah. in our life. And so to create real, authentic characters, sometimes they're going to be messy.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about faith-based as opposed to secular. There are plenty of really cheesy movies that come out of secular Hollywood,
that's
too.
True.
There's some really bad movies, and they throw a lot of money at them, and that doesn't make them any better, mm-hmm. because the scripts are not very good, right? If it's on the page, it'll be on the stage, but if it's not, it won't. That's the rule of thumb. You know, the material has to be right before you start shooting the movie.
My wife and I were just discussing this a few weeks ago. We were watching one of these off channels, these Hallmark Light channels, and I thought, right. you know, there's only so many times the elevator can shift to force a kiss to happen on screen. Come on, guys. Shift your imagination here a bit to do something where the unexpected's going to happen. All of us saw this scene coming.
Right, right. I think people coming out of faith community are getting much better at their craft. They're getting much better at telling stories. You know, it took a long time for contemporary Christian music to leave cheesy behind and
That's
get
true.
Really good. You know, it was an evolutionary process. I mean, it didn't happen overnight. It happened over time. Now, I would say that you could stack any sort of contemporary Christian music up from a production value standpoint against any secular music, and it lands just fine.
Yeah.
They all fire on all the cylinders. Well, we're going to get there with Christian film.
Yeah.
The stakes are just so much higher, though.
Yes,
because the cost is so much higher to make a movie than it is to make a song.
Even with all the new tools, even with all the new access we have to these things, it still is a very expensive endeavor.
It is.
So it better be art. Yeah, you said we've gone from being able to communicate truth, and now we're becoming artists. And that's an important
right.
designation to make, that in our generation, even in a climate where the media tells us faith-based is not welcome anymore. In fact, we despise it. You annoy us.
Right.
Get out of the marketplace. At the same time, real artistry is coming out of those who have a passion and a worldview that demands of them excellence. And I think you're doing a good job of reintroducing to the artists of today that ethic, that faith-based means it requires an ethic of excellence because we serve an audience of one.
Right.
And he expects excellence because he created us excellently, and he wants excellence
right.
from us. And he can produce that in us. And those who are created in that image need to exercise that excellence and grow in that, like you have in your 10 or 20,000 hours of screenwriting for the past 30 years.
Right.
You've been perfecting along the way, and you are now a perfect tool to be modeling for us what we should be doing in the future. So you are in that Paul position. So there are a lot of other Timothys and Tituses out there behind you in this artist field. What are you seeing from them? What kind of new things are emerging that you are proud of?
You know what? I believe in heavily in mentorship. The first time I got a job in Hollywood, the producer said to me, I'm leaving the door open for you, but you have to promise me you'll leave it open for somebody else. And I've been trying all these years to do that. And
what a great charge.
Yeah, you have to, right? Because it's a very competitive, very difficult world to be successful in and to pay the bills in, to make a life and living out of. But you know what? If we want to clone our values for the next generation, the only way we can do that is by raising up young people and encouraging them. And so I try to do as much as I can of that. There's probably a dozen younger writers who are successful in their careers, and I played a small role in mentoring them along the way and have tried to do everything I can to do that. We have to do that. That's the only way to pass our values along. I think one of the things that I say to every young person is don't be a propagandist, be a storyteller.
Yeah.
Jesus was not a propagandist. He actually told stories that were mysteries.
Yeah.
He didn't answer every question. He stirred up cravings in people to want relationship, right? You stir up the cravings so people will want flesh and blood relationships. And oftentimes what doesn't work about faith-based movies is that they start to tell good stories and then it turns into propaganda and the audience can smell it coming a mile away.
Yeah, there's not always salvation in the third act, but there is salvation ahead of us if we're seeking it. And I think that most of the parables of Jesus ended with an argument. I mean, people were blowing up at the end of these things because he provoked something.
Right.
So what do you think needs to be provoked more through faith-based media?
I think we need to focus less on hitting people over the head with what we believe and just asking great questions that stir up conversations between real people. Rick Warren was my pastor for 20 years, and he said this to me. He said, "Brian, if all you do is ask great questions, you will drive people to the door of my tent, and I'll do the rest. I'll take them the rest of the way." Just ask great questions. We don't have to tie everything up with a big red bow in every story we tell.
Yeah.
And that's been our instinct. And we feel guilty if somehow we're not doing an altar call or we're not leading people directly to Christ through our storytelling. No, ask great questions, stir up hunger in people, stir up soul cravings so that they can get that most valuable of cures for everything in the universe hand-delivered to them by a real person who loves them. Not a picture on a wall, not a tract, not propaganda, but real cravings that turn into relationships.
And real cravings that lead to real relationship lead to other kinds of hungers. Hungers for something you never knew was possible for you. I want to bring people to life, too. I want our medium in radio to be a place where people left at the end of our half hours ask themselves some important questions. So I'll do that very thing right now. Brian, help us with an important question that we should be contemplating right now.
You know what? I think I'm going to make this relevant to a movie that's coming out on April 7th, The Case for Christ, which we've been talking to.
What a handy hook that is.
Yes.
Perfect.
I want to ask every one of your listeners, who in your life needs to see a movie called The Case for Christ? Now, you may need to see it yourself because you need some help articulating what you believe, and that's a perfectly valid reason to see it. Look, this movie is loaves and fishes for me.
Yeah.
It's my loaves and fishes. It's the crew's loaves and fishes. It's PureFlix loaves and fishes. We have made it the best way we know how. We are now handing it to Jesus and saying, "Jesus, please multiply this as you see fit and bring in the overflow." Because we are praying for millions of eyeballs to be exposed to this evidence for the Christ. And we're praying for millions of eyeballs to have their souls stirred up into cravings that they want more information, that they want more relationship, and they want to know where they're going to be in eternity. I believe the big question for your audience is, who is it that needs to see this movie in your life? And how are you going to get them there to see it?
We'll take your challenge there, Brian. That's a great question. And we want to do our part in helping people prepare for that interaction and that relationship that's going to blossom, hopefully, into many more eternal relationships. And our part is making that case for Easter available to our listeners this month. So if you haven't already, folks, give us a call. Connect with us online right away to order the last few copies we've got of The Case for Easter. It's still available at Compassion Radio. Brian, I want to thank you, first of all, for your artistry. You have worked hard throughout your life, and you've done it with a template of redemptive worldview. You see the world through Christ's eyes because you've learned to follow in his footsteps. And you've turned around then and shared a light of truth and love and compassion throughout your life's work that has led others into faith. And I'm proud of that, too. I want to thank you for being a mentor to others, especially in Hollywood and television, that need to know that they're loved, and they can also share many more love stories that are not, as you said, cheesy, that are full of truth and valiant pursuit and great overcoming of trial and tribulation, but also at the heart of it, no matter where people are, that they're loved in where they are. You're telling great stories like that. May God raise up many more Brian Birds out there to do this thing in the generations to come. Thank you, my friend, for joining us today on Compassion Radio.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate being with you.
That was a nice way to wrap up our two-part conversation with film producer and writer Brian Bird on today's Compassion Radio as we wrap up not only the week, but also this 73rd anniversary month of March. You can make it even better with a phone call to 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. 2478. Whether it's to make a contribution, ask for prayer, or even just to say, happy anniversary. It would mean so much to us. Truth is, we're in need of your special gift as we prepare to say goodbye to March and hello to April. Would you consider an extra special 73rd anniversary gift above and beyond your usual support? Maybe a gift of $5 or $10 for each year you've listened to the broadcast. Paula or Lena would love to take your call at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. And one more item. Ask for your copy of the Lee Strobel booklet we're offering this month, The Case for Easter, with your gift of any size to Compassion Radio. But don't delay. We want to make sure we can get it into your hands before Easter arrives. That's The Case for Easter by Lee Strobel. Your involvement means the world to us. Thanks again for your support. Our toll-free number, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address once again, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And online, as always, at CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram Floria, Norman Cher Nelson, and the Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale, and we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.